Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion road.
Come on, let's sing about a man. And you know,
I know that peace and love
will always abide. Why don't you your throne, sir? Lord, please reserve my mansion,
mansion, robe,
and crown.
Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Oh, you look wonderful. You look wonderful. You look beautiful. For those of you that are visiting with us, you are truly honored guests. Welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge our visitors at the end of our service. This is our fifth Sunday. We normally have two worship services in some Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock and 11:15. And so every month that has five Sundays, we come together. And it's good to see everybody together. Amen. Some of you haven't seen each other in a long time. And so it's good to be together. I hope you are friendly. You're friendly. If you have a seat next to you, if somebody needs to sit next to you, you'll slide over and won't be stingy with your seats this morning. Everybody in here love God?
Yeah.
Do you really love God? This song has been on my heart all this week. I really love God. If you love him, sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't do what? Yes. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. Watches over me, and he watches over me. Oh yes, he watches over me. And you don't know what is. Thank you, Father. Oh yes, he gave me. I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and that's why I love. Yes, I love. Why I love, yes, I love
him. I really love
the Lord.
Thank you. I'm gonna ask our Spanish minister, Brother Gabriel Guerra, to come and word us a prayer. Ask Brother Ray to translate this morning. For those of you that are visiting, we have a Spanish service and an English service during part of the Sundays, but today we all come together and we all one in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Gerber Guerra, a fine, wonderful minister of the Lord's church, Brother Guerra.
Santo Padre, Señor nuestro, Padre eterno.
Holy Father, our eternal Father.
Gracias, Señor, por estos momentos bonitos que tenemos de estar juntos.
Thank you for this beautiful time that we have together.
Gracias, Padre, por las hermanas, los hermanos aquí presentes.
Thank you, Father, for the sisters and the brothers who are present.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracias por los visitantes que están con nosotros. Gracias por
visiting among us.
Gracias por nuestros ancianos.
Thank you for our elders.
Nuestros diáconos.
Our deacons.
Gracias por los maestros y predicadores.
Thank you for our teachers and our preachers.
Gracias por los jóvenes que tenemos con nosotros.
Thank you for the young people that we have among us.
Gracias por los niños que están con nosotros.
Thank you for the babies that are with us.
Gracias, Padre, porque somos miembros de tu iglesia, de tu familia.
Thank you, Father, that we're members of your family, the
yes.
church.
Yes.
Gracias por tu Hijo Jesucristo.
Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus.
Quien murió por nosotros.
Who died for us.
Señor, te pedimos que bendigas esta reunión en esta mañana.
We ask you, Father, to bless this meeting together this morning.
Te amamos, Padre, por eso estamos aquí.
We love you, Father, and that's why we are here.
Yes.
Queremos hacer tu voluntad.
We have to do your will.
Ayúdanos, Padre.
Help us, Father.
Help us, Lord.
En nuestras necesidades que tenemos cada uno.
Help us with the needs that we have, each and every one.
En el nombre de Cristo oramos y te agradecemos.
In the name of Christ Jesus we do pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gerby. Thank you, Gerby. A few weeks ago, I started a lesson series entitled the Apologetics Series. Apologetics, from the word apologia, meaning to defend, defending the faith, inspired by a number of questions that I've been receiving over, I receive questions all the time, but very serious questions from young men and young ladies primarily about questions, things that they'd seen, things that were challenging their beliefs, their faiths, and they wanted answers to. And I'm sure that they're not by themselves. From time to time, we get questions and someone to say or believe or teach something that's different than what you believe. And so we started this series, and the lessons have been in this order, the lesson titles. And I know all of you have not been here for all of the lessons. Today is the fifth lesson. I was actually planning on closing this lesson, but I think I'm going to do one more lesson. The lessons have been entitled The Apologetics Introduction, and it just simply gave the biblical importance, necessity, the value of being able to defend the faith. And some of us, sometimes we're so passive, we don't like to confront or have any conflict with anyone, especially about religious matters, and we're not interested in debating or arguing with individuals, but you do need to know why you believe what you believe. And there are times that you need to be able to state and teach what you believe, if it's that important to you. And so that lesson focused on that. The second lesson was, does God exist? It is the and we deliver these lessons for in this particular order for a reason, because there are some, there are those, we know that many of you grew up believing in God, but there's a generation today who question the very existence of God. And you have to approach them in a manner, not even starting with the Bible, because they don't believe in the Bible. That was one of the lessons we gave. Is the Bible inspired? Is it reliable? And we tried to present, because apologetics is defending that we are presenting evidence for what we believe, not just saying we believe something. Tangible evidence. Yes, we know that ultimately with God, it's about faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But our faith is based on the word of God and the evidences that God has given us. Even he tells us that in his word, because of the things that that are invisible, we can believe that God is real. We try to present that evidence. Does God exist? And then, is the Bible inspired? We presented biblical evidence for the Bible and evidence that is outside of the Bible that confirms that the Bible is inspired, it's reliable, it is true. especially when you compare it to all of this other stuff that's out here. And so we won't give that lesson again, but that's the lessons in order. And then the last lesson we gave was on the deity of Jesus, the divineness of Jesus. That Jesus is no ordinary man who lived this earth, although he was 100% man. But divine means not of this earth. Jesus is supernatural. That sets him apart from anybody. Any smart person who you think is smart doesn't scratch the scratch when it comes to Jesus. And we talked about the deity because, after all, we need to know who's boss around here. Because when it's all said and done, you need to see whoever you are listening to. If they can't compare to Jesus, then so we tried to present a lesson on the deity of Jesus Christ. And in this order, because God has order. Yeah, God has a plan. And so he has a purpose for our lives. And we're trying to present this in a manner that we can all have confidence that we are doing what's right in the sight of God. In this lesson today, entitled, Church or Not. Church or not. And some of these were really, really driven by some of the questions that I got. Young man said, Brother Gary, what does the church have to do with salvation? And don't get mad at the young man. Don't get angry at the young woman and say, you just need to believe in the church. Well, we do need to believe in the church, but that's a legitimate question. What does the church have to do with my salvation? Now, notice this. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the word of God, you don't believe in Jesus, you don't need to go to church. Amen, somebody. Now, notice this. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning because, see, there has to be a foundation, because a lot of folk fight church because they don't know what church came from. They don't understand the importance of church. In 1 Peter, I'm going to go through some passages. You stay with me. I know we're a little crowded, but if you stay focused, I won't be long. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense. There it is. To everyone, notice, to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. So that is what we are trying to do here, even this day, to make a defense. Because there are people who do not believe what you believe. And if they can give a reason for what they believe, can you give a reason for what you believe? Now, when you do it, at the end of that passage, when you do it, yet with gentleness. Gentleness. Oh, Lord, have mercy. With reverence. In other words, don't please. Sometimes I hope you're not reading my facial expressions to mean that I'm fussing or that I'm trying to put anybody down. You forgive me if that is the case, because that's not the case. And we understand that everybody didn't grow up in the same back. Church members, those of you that's been members of the church for a long time, please understand, everybody don't know every book of the Bible like you know. Some people that wasn't raised in church, they have no religious background at all, and they're just searching for answers in this world. And you need to be gentle when you're dealing with them. And help folks to not close the door before the door can be opened, but with reverence for God. Respect for people and respect for God. Respect what you're having a discussion with a Muslim, respect what they believe. Yes, be kind to them just because you are not a Muslim. Yes, you respect a Hindu. You respect those individuals who have spent time and dedication in their beliefs and their thoughts because they were taught that. Respect them and listen to them. Yes, but there still is a responsibility for us when we feel we have the truth to be able to defend and share that truth with others. And I want to defend the position in this particular lesson that the church life is vital. It's necessary. Notice, I want to be clear. It is absolutely essential to the salvation of your soul. That's what I want to try to defend. Well, Gary, I don't believe that. That's fine. Just be kind. Don't throw anything at me this morning yet. If you're watching by way of television, just stay with us for a minute. And then when we finish, if you have some questions, we'll field any questions that you may have. But I'm going to stay in the Word this morning because I don't want you to think this is coming from me. We spent time on the inspired Word of God, and that is our standard. That's our foundation. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 38, John 6:38. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see how this ties together? First, you believe there's God, God the Father. There we demonstrated that Jesus is the Son of God, but he also is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see how the deity, okay, I don't understand that. You don't need to understand. You don't understand. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you understand that? You can't understand it because you can't do that. But Jesus says, I came down from heaven. Notice, some people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on December the 25th. Well, you're a little bit late, I must tell you. Jesus as a human baby was born. We don't know if he was born on December the 25th. By the way, that's another lesson. But Jesus was here before that day. Already. That's why. Well, that's a whole nother. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will. How God the Father, God the Son, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus had a purpose when he came to this earth. See, you got to understand Jesus' purpose. Why he came to this earth. He came to die for your sins and my sins. All of us bought all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus came from heaven. But Jesus, when he came, it was for a specific. He didn't just come here to say hello to us. Listen to John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you. Notice this. This is why some things, yeah, you forget. I just feel like everybody should do what they feel is right. Well, that's what you feel. But this is what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word. Everybody say my word. Now notice, now see, everybody has a word. People you listen to have a word. But Jesus said, he who hears my word. Now he can say that because Jesus writes the checks. Yeah, see, you say, well, I feel like you're on your job. I feel like we ought to move to do this way. And you got all your opinions. Boss man come and say, no, we're going to do it this way. Who are you going to listen to? Yeah. He who hears my words and believes him who sent me. See, that's faith and that's belief in God the Father, God the Son. There is a hearing. We say every Lord's Day, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing. Christians. Hearing, what we're going to hear? And hearing by the word of? That's the standard. That answers everything. He says, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Question, anybody here want eternal life? Amen. Listen, I sure enough want eternal life. I know we can't fathom what it is. It just means you don't get old. You don't get sick. You don't die. Lord have mercy. Notice this. And does not come into judgment. If you hear Jesus, the one that sent him, you have eternal life and you don't stand in condemnation, but has passed out of death into life. And I know you're like me, all the funerals, all the wakes, all the dying, all the sickness, you wish you could change it, you can't change it. It's going to keep happening. And if you don't have a plan, if you don't get connected to the Lord, you'll be confused every time somebody dies. It's all a part of this, part of God's plan. Notice this. I'm getting to the church. Matthew 16, verse number 17. Some of this I can't go over all the background just for time's sake. Jesus said to them, notice all of these words coming from Jesus. Matthew 16:17. Jesus said to him, he's speaking of Peter. Some of this you're going to have to trust me on and read it for yourself. He said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter had just made this declaration. Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And there were different ones saying, you're Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. And Peter said, no, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. Notice, if you're going to have eternal life, you also must testify of the same. That you're the Christ. And then Jesus comes to him here. He says, Peter, he says, flesh and blessed are you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. And then he says in verse number 18, I also say to you that you are Peter. And upon this rock, what rock, Brother Gary? The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember, Jesus came from heaven. He came to do the will of the Father. And he says, upon this rock, the fact that I am the Son of God, I will. At this particular time, the church was not in existence when Jesus came. But it's about to come. Very soon, he says, I will build my church. See, church is God's business. Church is part of God's plan. Now, Brother Gary, you need to define what church is. I know that's on your mind. The word ecclesia, church, assembly. It's an assembly of not these benches, assembly of people. Notice, he says, I will build my church. Then he says, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail over overcome it. He said, the church will last forever. Now, you ought to be perked up a little bit. If you're watching by way of television, you may be providentially hindered and you can't assemble with the saints. And I know that you say, well, how big does the church have to be? Well, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name. See, there has to be a consciousness when you come together as the church. Because see, some people come together to watch football. They come together in clubs. They come together for all kind of different. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a consciousness of people coming together to give praise and honor to God and God alone. That can identify a church. And so he says this, I'm going to build my church. He said, and it will last. It will overcome. Nothing will prevail against it. Now, Jesus said this before he died. Now, you would think that because he died, the church would be dissolved. But Jesus said, no, nothing will prevail against it. And you know that on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and those religious leaders, they thought they killed Jesus and his cause when they killed him. And they don't know that they just opened up the door for the church. And it's been around ever since. And it's going to continue to be around. Now, I know you're in here right now, and some of you may be visiting, but see, just sitting in the assembly doesn't mean you're in the church. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm getting there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Church or not? That's the question. That's what we're defending. Does the church have anything to do with my salvation? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Don't get nervous if you don't get all these scriptures. You can have my notes. We'll put it online. It's free. Don't cost you a dime. For by one spirit. Oh, I love the word of God. I thank the God because I keep it simple. You can't confuse. Can you confuse one? He says, for by one spirit were we all. Everybody say all. Who does that exclude? See, you have the Africans, you have the Spanish, you have blacks, you have Indians. The scriptures say all. That's what the word of God says. He said, for by one spirit, we were all baptized. I don't know why some people fight baptism. Oh, my God. Notice, just use your comments. Don't be philosophical. Don't have to take a long sentence. He says, for by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, if you're not baptized into one body, then you're not in the body. So why would I tell someone, well, baptism has nothing to do with it? Are we reading the same thing? Now, baptism is not the only thing, but surely don't you negate baptism. One young man said to me, "Boy, again, you mean to tell me that if I'm in the hospital and I'm dying, somebody come tell me about Jesus and I want to be saved, but I can't be baptized, God, I'm not going to be saved?" I say, "Lord, have mercy." And I guess that was a good question. I guess that was a good question, because you got all kind of hypotheticals. I had someone tell me, "Well, you know, that sometimes you just never know where you might be." And then you tell somebody that baptism had nothing. I said, to the young man, "Well, are you in the hospital right now?" I mean, think about it. We can make all kind of excuses why not to obey God. No, let me say that. Let me say, notice, not just to him. Everybody that's in here right now, everybody that's watching by way of, are you in the hospital right now? Is maybe that's why Jesus said, "The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart." Yes. You're not God. What we need to do is obey God. Do what he said. Here is the water. Paul said, "What hindereth me from being baptized?" Oh, now we're trying to get you in the church now. No, there's this. No, he says this. He says, "For by one spirit we all baptized into one body." Notice, underline one body. I'm coming to that. One body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one spirit. You must understand, the church is inclusive of everybody. Everybody, whatever race, we might not speak the same language, but the church is inclusive of everyone. Thank God we have translations of the Bible in all different languages. And it is to be inclusive, not exclusive. And he says, God says, "I want everybody in one body." What do you mean one body, Brother Gary? Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. "For just as we have many members," I want to nail this down, because I know someone saying, "Brother Gary, I'm the church by myself. I can be church by myself." And I understand that, but I am the church. I just want to do it on my own. Well, you need to understand about the body. "For by one spirit," excuse me, just Romans 12, 4. "For just as we have many members in one body," it's a metaphor. See, like you take your human body, you have many members. My finger is a member of my body. My toe is a member of my body. My ears, my head, my eyes. And then these are all the members that you can see. But I also have members that you can't see. Like my lungs, like my kidneys, like my pancreas, all of the veins and arteries. Guess what? They are all members of my body. They have different functions. But do you understand what I'm saying? There are many members, yet my finger, can I not disconnect? I don't want to be in the body, and I'm going to disconnect and just be over here and do my own thing. Because when it disconnects from the body, I know you see this. It dies. And here he says this. He says, "For just as we have many members in one body," speaking of our physical body, "and all the members do not have the same function, so we," now I wish I had time to go back to the beginning of the letter to the Romans. So we, he's talking to the church of God. He's talking to the saints. He says, "So we who are many," just like we are many in here, "are one body in Christ. And individually," notice this, this will help you to see it, "individually we are members one of another." Yeah, you see, God never intended for his church to be you by yourself. Well, here, I just don't like people. People just so funny. People just crazy. I'm sick of people. People, I'm just cynical. Folks mess over you. They just dog you out. I guess I got the amen you on that, though. I do have to hate. I got the people. Can't people act the nut when they want to act the nut? Make sure that people not you, though. Some of us, we so good at seeing fault in everybody else. And we got some issues ourselves. But you can't get away from people. I mean, you know, people, you see, God, Jesus dealt with, he had 12 apostles. Jesus dealt with all kind of personalities. And thank the Lord, Jesus was merciful and patient. He talked to prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. Some of us, we so uppity, and we don't like to be around nobody, like to talk to nobody. You can't be a child of God like that. We all have faults. And he says, we're individually members of one another. In your biological family, I know you have some hooks and crooks. I just talk about my family. In my family, we got all kinds. Yeah, we do. We do have all kinds. But we have a family reunion. Well, on my mother's side, we have family reunion every 2 years. On my daddy's side, we have family reunion every 2 years. Now, everybody don't come to the family reunion, but I'm glad that they stick to this. They do this every 2 years. Not every year. Every year might be too much, you know, and we come together, and we don't judge each other. Listen, Brooker, I don't fool with number Church of Christ folk. See, we are the light of the world. See, listen, we are the light. You just because it's heathens on your job, you still better go to work. Because you won't get a paycheck if you don't go to work. And after all, you go to work, be the light on the job. See, the world needs us to be lights everywhere we go. Jesus came to this sin-sick world. He left heaven for us. Who are you, my sister? Who are you, my brother, not to associate with people? And you got faults yourself. Oh, Lord have mercy. Notice this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I got to hurry up. Colossians 1, 24. Now I rejoice. This is Apostle Paul. He says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Paul had so much of a passion for people. And I hope in the church we have people who have not grown so cynical and so self-centered and so wanna just see some folk even in the church, bro, yeah, we need to get everything right. Like we want to block everybody else out. Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body. This is how in love he was with the church. He says, I know people mess over you, people dog you out, some folk against you, some folk call you hypocrites. He says, you know what? But I'm doing this for the sake of the body, of his body. Notice this. What do you mean the body, Brother Gary? Which is the church, in filling up what's lacking in Christ's afflictions. And Paul's simply saying this. He says, I'm going through this because I know what Jesus went through. And see, there needs to be more individuals who are so concerned about the church that you don't give up the church because you're going through something. Amen. You bring glory to God when you handle your infirmities, when you handle your challenges the way Jesus would handle his. Yeah, we see everybody in here have sick folk in their family. Yeah. Don't. Everybody, I know so many people in the church. My daughter, she's been up in California, and she's trying to get better, and it's putting a strain on our family, trying to do everything. But you know, we got folk, a bunch of people in the church who's suffering like that. But you think I'm going to give up on God? God, why are you sending me these three through? I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Yeah. And you give faith to others. You strengthen the faith of others when you are strong in the Lord. Yeah. And when God get ready to bless you, brothers, sisters, thank you, Lord. I that. You can't hold him back. Yes, he says this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. I want to nail this down. He's the head of the body, the church. The body is the church. The church is the body. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Notice, Christ is the savior of the body. What's the body? The church. Now, if you're not in the body, you won't be. And if you're not in the church, you won't be saved. Because Jesus will save the body. How many bodies is it? One body. I want you to see just simply today that church life is a part of God's plan. Also, but Brooke, I see it. But what is there any benefit? Notice this. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Can you handle this? He says this, but in case I'm delayed. He's talking, Paul is writing to a young preacher, Timothy. He's, in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Notice, this is the earthly household kingdom, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. He says, the pillar and support of truth. He says, I'm writing this letter to you, Timothy, so you know how to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. If I had time to read the verses that before that, you'll see, he says, I'm writing this to you. He gives them the qualifications of elders in the same chapter, First Timothy chapter. He's in the same chapter, qualifications of elders, qualifications of deacons. He says, if you desire the work of a bishop, you desire a good work. So he gives these qualifications. In his church, God has this organizational plan. Now, he put this organizational plan in place for a reason. He says, I'm writing this so you can see this is something you can't do on your own. You can't do this one by yourself. When I say, I'm going to just worship God the way I want. Notice, some of you need somebody. Notice what the elders do. They watch for our souls. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. The scriptures say, obey your leaders and submit to him. That's why some folk don't want to participate in church. That's just why. I don't want to submit to, I don't want nobody knowing where I am when I miss church. I don't need nobody looking over me. I'm grown. I know I'm not talking to anybody here right now, but some people don't want to submit to anything. Listen, you know why some people not married and can't stay married? Because they not willing to submit. But Gary, you're on the wrong lesson. I'm just saying. Scriptures say, husbands, love your wife. Notice it. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Yeah. See, you understand how Christ loved the church, it'll help you to treat your wife better. Notice this. Quick marriage seminar. If you're a husband in here right now, and your wife, she's just not acting right, would you beat her up? Has Jesus beat you up? Question. Anybody sinned lately? Anybody acted up, did something wrong lately? Especially if you're a Christian. You're a Christian. You were baptized into Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And you're a saint. But after you've been baptized, have you ever sinned? Excuse me. Let me go a little bit further. Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Don't answer. Don't say nothing to these now. Have you ever cursed? Have you ever stole something? You mean you did this after you became married to Jesus? And you still here? Nobody beat you up? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, Lord, help us to grow. Anybody need some growing in here? I know, Lord. I'm trying to. He says, help love you. Then it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own. You got quiet on that one. Now notice, in the church, God didn't just put this church down here, just run it any kind of way. You put whoever you want to put over it. You do what you want to do. He says back again, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul. You know why some of our members are still here right today? Because somebody called them on the phone. I haven't seen you in a while, and I was just wondering how you doing. Can we come pray with you? There's some people that's not here right now. You know what they need? Somebody to just, we need each other. God said it. He knew it. and you go out and go on your own or do your own thing, you're not a part, see, of the church life. And this is this practical church. Notice this. Let me give you some more, and I'm about to close. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another. Everybody say one another. Notice how the church involves each other. He says, be devoted to one another. Notice, in brotherly love. Notice, giving preference to one another. Is church essential? Is it necessary for your salvation? 1,000 times, yes. Listen to the scriptures in Romans 15, 14. Romans 15, 14. And concerning you, my brethren, notice this, my brethren, plural, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. See, the word admonish, it has even more of a meaning, because, see, when we admonish each other, it's encouragement. But, see, some of us, some of us can call somebody and say, some of us can, as brothers, friends as brothers, say, man, what you doing? You know, we don't do that. See, now everybody can't do that. But you know, if I see one of my brothers and I see him stumbling, and I'm a man, not that I'm perfect, but I see him stumbling. I, as a Christian brother, am concerned about my brother. I'm like, man, wait, man, what's up, man? No, oh, man, don't give all your money, man. No, whoa. Do we need that in the church? Oh, I don't want nobody to say, I didn't say everybody. Yeah. Some of the sisters need somebody to admonish them sometime. Yeah. You can tell when somebody falls away from, is getting ready to fall away from the church. Yeah, they hear, you see them, just, you don't see them. And then in the church, some of us, we so standoffish, we don't say nothing to nobody. And all this one another in the scriptures. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 3. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. Notice this now. No, don't stop there. He says, abound in love for one. That's what we need in the church and out of the church. But Christians, more so in the church, we ought to be trying to be this pattern of this love for each other. Not be fake with each other. I mean, sincerely love, because some of us, we just nosy. Oh, man, some people are just nosy. Some people just want to know your business. See, if you just want information just because you want to know, don't ask. You know, some people just nosy. You know, oh, you did what? Did your son went to jail? He did? What did he do? We're talking about the church. He says, for one another. Then he says, and for all, see the distinction? And for all people. There is a distinction between the way God wants us to treat each other as Christians. He says, treat, love one another and love all people everywhere. That's what he says. Now, so we know, then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. We're talking about church life. And so God wants there to be this distinction. God wants us to be this fellowship in the church, made up of Jews, Gentiles, bond, free, male, female, all people in his church. That's why, oh, you look so beautiful this morning. Black, white, brown, together. Somebody ought to be smiling. God is good. Notice this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. To him be glory in the church. Notice, this is what the scriptures say. God has instituted this church for glory to all generations, forever and ever. Church or not, church. Is church essential for our salvation? Amen. Absolutely. Is it necessary? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's why I'm gonna add one more lesson, because I don't wanna extend this. I'm gonna add one more lesson because I want to make sure. I believe I've tried to defend the point that church life is necessary. It is essential for our salvation. It is a part of God's plan. But you got to know, it's not any church. It's not any church. But Gary, there are a lot of churches. I know there are. And if the Lord said the same next week, I want to defend and identify the type of church, the church that Jesus is going to come back for. Amen. When he comes back to heaven. I want to, and I know some of you, this is repetitious for you, but these are foundational lessons, because see, I don't want you to leave out here and just go join a church, go to any church, or say, well, I just need to go to church. Notice, we read in scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, there is one body. I haven't read all the passages about one body. Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one body, there is one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. The scriptures say there's one Lord, one faith, one. There is one way you're to be baptized. Amen. Amen. Now, what do you mean, Brother Gary? See, there's some folk, when you get baptized, they will sprinkle you with water. They'll bring you up and pour sprinkle you water. Some people will get a picture and pour it on you. And then there's some people who will dunk you down in the water and bring you up out of the water. I got a question for you. Which one is the right one? Some of you say barrier. Well, how do you know that? Don't answer it out loud today. And so it's not any baptism. But if you're here today and you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The scriptures say, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Notice all of these passages. He says this. So we hear God's word. We believe it with all of our heart. Without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we heard God's word. We believe it with all of our heart. Do we stop there? Now, some would say that's all you have to do is believe where you are right now. Sit in your seat. If you're watching by way of just pray a sinner's prayer, receive the Lord Jesus in your heart, and you will be saved. I don't teach that. I don't teach it because I don't find it in the Bible. And I want to make sure you get this one right. So there is belief. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. A lot of folk believe in Jesus. The question is, are you willing to obey the Lord? Amen, somebody? You know what? Sometimes, and I know I hear all kinds of different questions, but I found out some people want to know the truth. Some people, let's just tell, I want to know without question what God want me to do. And I believe you have to go straight to his word and take all of his word. So we've said you got to hear God's word. You must believe it with all your heart, but you can't stop there. How do you know that, Brother Gary? On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the gospel, the good news. It is the foundation for our faith. What's the good news, Brother Gary? That Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he's coming again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. He's coming again. So you believe. Peter preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They heard the message. They asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, if faith was enough, they already believed. Because how do you know they believe? Because scriptures say it pricked their hearts. That's somebody in here right now, y'all. You just get her up so I can get baptized. Amen. And the word has already pricked your heart. But you're not saved until you complete it in obedience. Amen. Yes, yeah, something, you know, and I'm emotional. God has made us with emotion. You hear good songs, oh, praise the Lord. Your emotions stir you, but your emotions won't save you. Amen. Some people come, oh, boy, church was good today. Oh, Lord, we sang, had a good time. But it has to be more than that. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. So we believe with all our heart. What is there anything else I need to do? You must repent of your sins. That's what Peter told him when they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? He says, repent. Repent means to turn from sin. Sin is why Jesus came to this world. Can I slow down just a minute? I'm about through. I'm about through. But I've heard this before. You need to hear it again. Amen. Just be still and be quiet for a second. Somebody's fighting with the devil this morning. Yes. And he said, repent. That's what Peter said. He said, now sin is why Jesus came to the world. And this is why some people don't want to be in church. Because this is why some preachers don't preach about repentance when it comes to salvation. Amen. But it's because of sin that Jesus came. Sin is awful. And don't say you haven't sinned, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all in the same page. Some of us look good, but you just a good-looking sinner. And so when he said repent, that means to turn from sin. So I'm not the kind of preacher. Our elders are not the kind of elders. To see, we call sin what it is. Now, we don't glorify sin. We don't beat folk up. But if you made your living robbing folks, stealing, robbing, man, I saw in the news this lady robbed 3 banks in the same day because she needed to get some money for her daughter's graduation. I said, my goodness. Now, we feel sorry for her that she needs some money for her graduation, but you don't rob 3 banks. The scriptures say, let him that stole steal. So you got to, let's call it what it is. Yeah. Notice this. If you're struggling with something, get in line. We all struggling with something. Amen. But we can't make wrong right as the world is. That's why some folks have so many people flocking to their buildings. Because they say, I'm going to be saved by the grace of God. We all going to be saved by the grace of God. God's grace was that God sent his only begotten son to this world. That's God's grace. That gave everybody an opportunity to be saved. They want to be saved. But don't you think you're going to wallow in your sins, keep on sinning and sinning and sinning, and think you're going to be pleasing to God. And so your mindset changes. Look, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm turning to the Lord for my help. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. I'm turning. That's repentance. It's turning from. Don't play games with yourself. You must want to stop sinning. Well, Gary, I've been on drugs for 20 years. You thinking there's nobody in this building that haven't been on drugs, some of them more than 20 years. I might as well get real. And not church members, bear with me, saints, all you holy ones with the halos, pray for us. This is why you stay in the church no matter what's going on in your life. Because it's where grace is. If you're struggling with something, then you say to God, confess it to God, Lord, help me. I don't want to do this. I'm going to stop it. Well, Gary, I know you don't. Turn to God. Give it to God. That's what he meant when he said, repent. Turn from sin. Turn to God. He's your overcomer. He's your sustainer. Notice this. See, the good thing about now that I'm in the church, that I've been baptized with the blood of Jesus Christ, the scriptures say his blood keeps on cleansing me. Now, I got to say this, that, see, when you get in the church and you get baptized, it don't mean you're not going to sin again. And I know some of you don't want me to say this, but I have to say this, is that, see, now, I've been in the church for 40 plus years. I've been a Christian for 40 plus years. It don't look like I'm that old, do it? Some of you not saying nothing. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I've had some struggles since I've been a Christian. I have. Tell you something. One sister said to me, but yeah, don't tell the church all your business. I'm not telling you all my business. But I know there's somebody in here that's struggling. I've had some struggles since I became a Christian. And I'm telling you, I've had some. This morning, before I left the house, I prayed to the Lord. Lord, help purify me. Purify my thoughts, my heart. Sometimes I think I'm my worst enemy. I struggle with my thoughts and you know, with all this, and I don't want to be that way. Some of you trying to do this on your own. But one thing I know with the word of God, it says he's faithful and just to forgive me. See, when you're baptized into Jesus Christ and you humble yourself and ask the Lord for forgiveness of your sin. Now, don't play a game. I will bring it. I need to hear that because I'm going to be sinning tomorrow. Remember, God knows your heart now. That's why Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God know all the games. So don't play games. God know when you're sincere, when you're struck, when you're sincere about doing right. Because, see, he knows. See, your actions will tell whether or not you're sincere. And while I have my struggles, I sincerely ask God to help me deal with this. And I know, Lord have mercy, I'm a better Christian, I believe, than I was 20 years ago. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's why I'm in Bible class. Well, again, you're the preacher. I know I'm in church. I'm praying. I need to be around the saints. I don't need to be with the devils all week, all day long. Amen. Amen, somebody. And so repentance, you got to repent of your sins. Don't think you're going to just be a crook Christian. Turn from sin and turn to God. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38. And so we hear God's word, we believe it, we repent of our sins, we're not ashamed that we're a Christian. Amen. And confession is an acknowledgement with your mouth what you believe. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. That's Jesus saying those words. He says, if you deny me before men, if you shame that you're a Christian, yeah. Listen, I have buddies that are football players. I have buddies I grew up with, got homies, you know, when I in high school, I go to the class reunions, the 10-year class reunion. Well, Gary, you go to the 20-year class reunion? Yes, I do. See, some of you Christians, you got the wrong picture. I don't do that stuff no more. Well, if you can't handle it, don't do it. If you don't need to go to the reunion, bro, oh yeah, I'm going. If you don't need to go to the reunion, don't go. But I go, but I take my sister KB with me. And when I go, because I know somebody going to be one of them old. You ought to handle that. Yeah. But you know why I go to the reunions now? When I go to the reunions, I take some Fifth Ward Church of Christ business cards with me. And not now, all my friends, they know, you know, you preaching over there. You. And I don't flunt. I don't do anything. I'm just Gary, you know. I'm Gary. But I say, come by and see me sometime. Come on. Notice this. In this church right now are some of my classmates. Are members of this body right now. Not because of any grand thing that I've done. But see, everybody needs Jesus. Yes. Yes. Everybody needs the Lord. Yes. Everybody needs to be in his one body, the church. Amen. And if you don't confess him before men, and see, if you're not around men, you can't confess him. If you're not around people, if you're right not around those who are not. Now, don't say I'm going to the club tomorrow to pass our business code. But you be a light when you go to the grocery store. Yeah, you act like you're a Christian when you are doing business with people, when you're talking to folks, when you're in the mall, when you're with your family. Notice this. And last but not least, be baptized in water for the remission. He said, repent and be baptized. And the scriptures say every one of you. And I know this is fundamentalist, but this is plain. Be baptized every. Now notice, we read the passages, quoted the passage. You hear God's word. You believe it with all of your heart. You repent of your sins. You confess Christ. You're baptized. You know absolutely with evidence scripturally. You know you're obeying God. You're doing exactly what God said. And you are baptized into Jesus Christ. And then the scripture says in Acts 2:47, and the Lord added. See, you don't join the church. This is not a club. You don't fill out an application. We don't do a background check. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. A lot of us wouldn't make it. Suppose we had to do a credit check. Woo! Thank the Lord. No, we don't qualify you. No, we don't qualify you. Now notice this, the church does have elders. The church does have elders, and we watch for each other's soul. That's wise on God's part. So see, you might have devil on your. Some people get baptized for the wrong reason. And because they want to be a part of the church so I can network it. Oh, man, all these people, I can make some money on the church. Well, that's not the reason why you get baptized into the Lord's church. And if you start hooking and crooking folks too much, the elders going to tap you on your shoulder. That's what they're here for, to watch for our souls. Amen, somebody. And they are authorized by, isn't God smart? Yes. To do it. But you're baptized. And I found that when you explain to people why we do what we do, what we do, and you are clear, there are a lot of people that want to do it right. Amen. They want to do it God's way. Yeah. And I know you may have some more questions about the church. Tell me more about this church. You come back, if the Lord say the same next Sunday, if you want a Bible class before that time, there are several individuals in here that can have a Bible class with you, and we'll teach you even more. But you've heard enough today. Amen. To obey God. Be baptized in water. Be added to the church by God. And he adds you to that one body. You're no longer disconnected. You are connected to the church, which is absolutely essential for your salvation. I'm sorry I went as long as I did. I say I'm sorry, but I'm really not sorry. There's someone here that needs to be baptized. And I know it's intimidating sometimes in a church this size, and you may feel a little intimidated. Some of you may be ready to come down. You sign up, fill out a card, we'll take a confession, we'll baptize you. And see, there is a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency. We know the devil is busy. And you know, there's some folks, that Christians in here, that they're not going to say it to you. They're not going to tell you. They're ready to hurry up and go fix their chicken and go out and eat. There are some that's like that, but most of us not. Amen. We'll be absolutely patient with you. Amen. If you need somebody to walk with you, somebody will walk with you and come down. Oh, this is from the bottom of our heart, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Yes, if you're here, you want to be baptized, we're going to sing a song. You come. If you're here, you're in the church, and you want somebody to pray for you, we'll pray for you. Amen. If you're here, and you just need to get something right in your life. Let me say this also to the members of the church, of the body. Is that if you have some personal sin that you're struggling with, as a Christian, you can pray and ask God to help you with that yourself. You can ask the Lord for forgiveness yourself. That is one of the benefits of being a Christian. Now, sometimes we need somebody to pray with us, to pray for us for strength. You have Christian brothers and sisters who are willing to do that. And so you don't have to come down here for everything, but if there's something that you feel like that you brought a reproach on the church, it's something that you need to pray, then you come down and get it right before it's everlasting too late. Would you come? Won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Somebody come to Jesus today.
Are you fully trusting in his grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes, are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood
of the Lamb,
of the Lamb,
all your garments spotless
are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment?